Welcome back to the Blessed Business Podcast, where we empower Christian business leaders to launch and grow blessed businesses so together we can advance the kingdom of God. If you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast and check out the online courses and resources at www.theblessedbusiness.com. That's www.theblessedbusiness.com. And if you're looking for ways to increase your income, check out the Income Accelerator course now available at theblessedbusiness.com/income. Now let's dive into today's episode. Welcome back to the Blessed Business Podcast. If you're listening to this, you're subscribed, you're probably part of the Blessed Business Tribe. And so I want to thank you for that. I'm your host, Hunter Haley. And last time, we got really carried away. We got really excited about opportunity because that's kind of what we're talking about right now. And we ran out of time, so we had to do a part two. So this is part two of the seven laws of opportunity. And this is kind of a part of a bigger series of around the topic of opportunity and how to take advantage of it. We have a couple episodes we did a while back talking about attracting opportunity. I think that was part one and part two. Then recently we had an episode talking about the nature of opportunity and how it works and how it shows up in your life. I feel like it was a good episode. I think you'll get a lot of value out of it if you go listen to that either after this or before this. You really want to get that because it kind of sets the stage of like what opportunity is, how it moves in your life and how to take advantage of it. And then the last time we talked about was the first four principles or laws of opportunity. And then we're going to finish up that conversation today in part two. In part one of the laws of opportunity, seven laws of opportunity, we talked about laws one through four. And that was law number one, opportunity comes ready or not. There's no countdown timer. So you have to prepare in advance. And we talked about how to do that. Law number two is opportunity is easily missed. And that's generally because your perception shapes your reality. And so you may miss an opportunity that is staring you right in the face because you aren't able to see it. And we talked about how to do that and break down that. And then we talked about number three, opportunity flows to certain types of people and away from others. And so there are certain types of people that attract opportunity, and there's certain types of people that repel opportunity. And so that's, again, the previous episodes we did about attracting opportunity, part one and two. If you just do a search in the Blessed Business Archives for opportunity, you'll be able to see those. And we deep dive on that. We gave just like a surface level introduction of that in the last episode as kind of a recap. But we really deep dive in that part one and part two, how to become someone that opportunity flows to. Because you can actually change your polarity in the world of opportunity where things are actually attracted to you. It's amazing. When you do that, I mean, the world just opens up before you. And I highly recommend checking out all those episodes to be able to get more information on that. And then number four is opportunity doesn't always make sense on the surface. Opportunity, it doesn't have to make sense to make money. We talked about inefficiencies in the marketplace and like crazy things that, and I gave some stories and different examples where opportunity just kind of presents itself. And it on the surface, it doesn't have to make sense, but it can make money. For example, if something is easy for you to do, you don't value it the same way. And so it doesn't make sense to you, and it's easily missed because it doesn't make sense to you. It's like, why would someone pay me, $5,000 to build this website that takes me 2 or 3 hours, right? Because it's easy for me. I can do that in my sleep. Well, someone who doesn't have that skill set or doesn't know how to do that or that ability or doesn't have the time, the 3 hours to do it with, then there's value there because you're not compensated based on the time that you put in or, how easy or hard it is for you, right? It's your value comes based on your compensation is based on the value that you deliver. We mentioned that we talk about that in the Income Accelerator course. One, a quote I heard recently about that is that if hard work was to determine how much you were paid, the mule would own the farm. And so it's an old example, but basically the mule on the farm who's pulling the plow, man, that's the hardest working element of the farm. He should own the farm, right? But the farmer owns the farm. And so it's not just sheer hard work and time in the field is what determines your compensation. It's the value you bring. It's thinking and ideas and being able to negotiate and understand contracts and be able to plant seed and network with people. And like, there's so many different elements that comes into, there's so many different ways to increase your value, deliver more value, increase your perceived value, different things like that. So again, we talk about that in the Income Accelerator course, as well as some of the other podcast episodes. But now we're going to start diving into the next three different laws of opportunity. And that number five is that opportunity is fleeting. It's always on the run. And so you have to catch it while it's coming at you. And I heard this saying one time that I love this quote. It says, opportunity only has hair on the front of its head. So when it passes, you got to catch it while it's coming at you, right? Because once it's gone, you turn around, try to catch it from the backside. It's like, wow, it is bald on the back, and I just grab a slick head, and it just continues on, right? So you got to catch it while it's coming at you, not when it turns around and or you turn around and it's already left, right? And so it's when it's too late, it's too late. You know, but the thing, I've got a story I'd like to tell you about this. There was an opportunity one time for me to buy a piece of property. There's a place outside of the Memphis area, and there was this thing. I got to exploring different opportunities because I knew some of these principles that we've talked about in these episodes, and I was like, okay, I have to educate myself. I have to go looking for opportunities. So I started getting on the state of Tennessee's website, and they have a website dedicated to special commercial project where the state of Tennessee has invested money in kind of like a preliminary site preparation for commercial development. And I was like, well, this is interesting. And then I figured out that they had something called the Memphis Mega Site. And I was like, what is this? And the state of Tennessee had purchased like several thousand acres, had put in a water tower and paved roads and infrastructure. I mean, they put in millions. I forgot. I want to say it was like a 20, 50, 100 million. I don't know. It was a lot of money into getting this site prepared. And I was like, now, wait a second. They're doing this because they understand the principle that if you build it, they will come. Not always, but in this particular case, I was like, someone's going to come and develop a huge manufacturing site here. And so I was like, I need to start looking for land because I was in real estate. I was doing land in that area. Excuse me. And so I was like, all right, I got to go looking for land. So I go around that area and I start looking for land. And I found one, a piece of property, you know, 20, 30 acres, I don't know, maybe a little more, that was maybe an exit or two down from this Memphis mega site. And a lot of people hadn't really paid that much attention to it because they weren't doing anything with it at that time. And so prices were still relatively low. And so I went and looked at this piece of property and I was like, oh man, I could subdivide this and sell it, owner finance it out, do whatever, because that's what I do. I said, or I could, you know, man, this would make a perfect RV park. Now it's right off the interstate, a mile or two. And I don't know much about RV parks. I had went to an RV park convention in Branson, so I knew some about it, but I was like, I don't know. This is a different business. I got paralysis by analysis, right? And I hem-hauled around. I was like, it's more than what I'd want to pay for if I subdivided and sold it. And I don't really have the money. I could go look for partners. I know people would want to do the RV park, and I think it would do well, but I just don't know. And I was busy with other things. Anyway, I let it slip through my fingers, and the listing was removed. And I was like, oh, man, I guess, you know, someone bought it or something like that. Well, a couple months later, a year later, something like that, I heard about the Ford Blue Oval project. And so they announced, I think it was 6 months or a year later, that Ford was going to come in and build a multi-billion dollar plant on the Memphis mega site. I was like, yes, see, I knew this was going to happen. So I start looking for property again. And then by that time, almost everyone had like 10x their price on land. And I was like, oh man, if I could have just got that back then. Well, then I looked another month or two later, and that property was back on the market, and it was for more than it had been before, but it still was very reasonable comparatively. And I went out, I think I even drove out and looked at it again. And I was like, man, this would make a great RV park, but man, it's going to be a year or two before, you know, the Ford starts building and like all the contractors are going to need a place for an RV park and stuff like that. But, oh, I don't know. And so I hem-hauled around again, and sure enough, the property sold. And this time I was like, okay, man, it's gone, you know? And so I was like, man, that was my opportunity. Well, a couple years later, you know, the Blue Oval project's in full steam ahead and stuff like that. We were on our way to Jackson, Tennessee with someone. And I said, you know, let's just pull off the highway. There was a property I'd looked at. I know it sold and would have made a great home site. Maybe someone bought it and, you know, built a house out there or something like that. And I'm just really curious, you know, what happened to that property. It's just a mile or two off the interstate. Let's just take a small detour. And they're like, yeah, sure. So we pull off the interstate, we drive out there, and we pull up to the property, and I'm like, no, you're kidding me. I can't believe this. I was like, and I like pulled up my map and I pulled up things to make sure I was at the right spot. And lo and behold, the place, the exact property that I had looked to buy was an RV park. And it wasn't just an RV park with like one or two people in it. It had, those campers were stacked in there like sardines. All right. This was for all the workers out at the Blue Oval plant. I was like, see, I knew it. I was like, oh, opportunity was there all along. But the thing is, opportunity is fleeting. If you don't take advantage of it, someone else will. A couple of years later, I was still interested in that concept. And I looked at doing an RV storage facility because, you know, post-COVID and everything, everyone bought RVs. If you looked at the statistics, between like 2020 and like 2023, something like that, more RVs were sold than like almost any other period in history. I don't remember the exact statistics, but it was just unbelievable because people were not flying. They were buying RVs and traveling the United States or wherever, right? And so, but then like, COVID kind of starts, you know, ending, or like even with people buying those, they had to park them somewhere, and they couldn't park them. A lot of HOAs and stuff like that won't let you park it in your garage or in your driveway or on the street. So like RV parking just went like through the roof, right? And there wasn't enough of it. And so I looked and looked, and I actually made an offer on a place, and we were like pursuing it, and I was looking into it, and I was like doing the research, and I had that hesitation again. I pushed a little harder than I did the time before, but this time it was like, I still held off a little bit. And lo and behold, there was a property not far from my house. And I was like, man, that would make a good place. And I get same story, same song, different verse. Within just a couple months, someone had bought it. And then I looked, and sure enough, they put an RV storage facility in there. And the other day, I actually met the guy. We were at a real estate mastermind meetup group, and I actually met the guy who did that. And he was like, yeah, man, it was just like everyone was needing an RV spot. And I was like, yes, I know. I actually called you when you were building it, and you said you were at 98% capacity and you hadn't even finished it yet. I was like, man, you took that spot. But anyways, we laughed and had a good time. I've pursued other things now, and you know, I may do something like that in the future, but at the same time, it's like not necessarily what I'm pursuing right now. But anyway, just to make the point that opportunity is fleeting. When you start pursuing opportunity and preparing for opportunity, once you start, again, opening your eyes to opportunity, you see it everywhere. But then you also have to kind of evaluate opportunity. What is the right opportunity to take advantage of right now versus later? Or like, and if I'd have got bogged down with that project, he was telling me that, you know, like the city was giving him issues. There was a neighbor that was giving him issues, and he had to really fight through that. And I was like, okay, I could have taken advantage of that opportunity, but at the same time, I was able to do so many other things that were equally or more profitable, that it's like, and more on mission for me, so to speak. So I don't necessarily regret this. I don't have like a lot of regret for not doing that, but the point still stands that the opportunity was there and someone could have taken advantage of it. And I had the opportunity to do it. Maybe I could have done both what I was doing and that, right? But I missed it because opportunity is fleeting. It only has hair on the front of its head. You gotta strike while the iron's hot, as the saying goes. All right. So that's number five. Principle number five, or law number five of opportunity. Opportunity is fleeting. Now, law number six and seven is, number six says, opportunity begets opportunity, meaning small ones can lead to big ones. And this goes back to the story of the talents, where if you're faithful over the little things, you'll be faithful over much. And so if you, one small opportunity leads to another opportunity. And I think I actually have an entire video dedicated to kind of talking about my life story of like all the opportunities and how I got to where I am today, and how little opportunities begat bigger opportunities in business and finance and things like that. And I have a video talking about that in the Income Accelerator course that I mentioned pretty much every time at the intro and outro. If you're interested in taking it, go to theblessedbusiness.com/income, and you can sign up for it. It's only like 20 or 30 bucks. It's a good course, and if I have to dare say so myself. But I have a video talking about that because I started way back in the day when I was a kid going around the neighborhood with my little red wagon and a broom and a rake. and I would go around and sweep my neighbor's porches, and I would rake their yard or whatever to make money. But then I went from that to, like, when I got a little older, I started a lawn care business, and I was mowing grass in my neighborhood. And then from there, I ended up hiring a guy, a friend of mine, who now has a very successful landscaping company. I realized that wasn't the kind of business I wanted to be in forever, but apparently he did, and he's done very, very well with it. Now he's got a spray business, and he's got several other things going on, has done incredibly well in kind of in that sphere, in that space. And so, but I kind of went from that till I worked for a computer repair shop, and I actually didn't even make money. I was too young. I was like 14 years old. So I said, I'll work for store credit. And I learned about that. And then it turned into a job, but then I used that to I did it on the side where I was like going and repairing other people's stuff when I left that job. And then I would do some work that got me a job, an internship, a marketing internship while I was in college at an IT firm doing marketing. And then that led to someone teaching me how to build websites, which helped me launch my own business doing website design and marketing consulting. And then that actually ended up building up and then eventually selling. And that kind of gave me kind of the framework to be able to start into the business that I am now. It helped me. And so then this opportunity has led to another opportunity. I'm in real estate now, but then that's diverged into a software company that is a loan management software called Lendium. And now I'm a partner in that. We've built the software and it's growing on its own. And there's like tens of millions of dollars managed by that loan management software. And it's like, man, just one opportunity leads to another. And now I'm looking at even other opportunities that are even bigger. There's opportunities in front of me right now I'm looking at that I'm having to evaluate. And it's not to pat me on the shoulder, but it started with a little red wagon. Opportunity begets opportunity. So don't despise the day of small things. Most people, and for most of my, I talked to someone the other day about this. For a lot of my life, I felt like I was running behind because I had big dreams and aspirations of running multi-million dollar companies. And like, okay, some of that's come to reality today, but it didn't start overnight with that. I jokingly remember being so frustrated as a young person, because it's like, I'm built to be a CEO. I'm built to like run a company, not necessarily be the little guy doing everything. And a lot of people took it as arrogance, and it wasn't intended as arrogance, but I was just frustrated with the process, because you don't start at the end of the line, right? You have to start at the beginning of the line. And so you have to start from where you are and like work towards that. And I spent a lot of time frustrated with that. Now I understand the benefit of the process. You know, part of the journey is part of the destination. It's part of the experience, right? And so if you are faithful in the little things, you'll be faithful over much. And if I had been given every opportunity that I have today and been put over the businesses that I have today, I learned things in my marketing and web design business, not just from a marketing web design standpoint. Yeah, I use that now, but even in like management and leadership and failures that I learned at a low level, right? That now I've taken that into the businesses that I am in now, that I'm able to apply at a much better, I've been able to scale this business that I'm in, real estate business I'm in, much higher. But then there's other businesses, opportunities I'm looking into that I would be able to take these skills and take them even further, right? Because opportunity begets opportunity. Don't worry about where you're at. Just put yourself on the right trajectory and just take one step at a time, and it will continue to grow and expand. And then the last law, law number 7, and this is the best law, in my opinion, is that law number 7 is that God, our opportunity can be created and expedited by God. Law number 7 is opportunity can be created and expedited by God. God is the creator of opportunity. And I have seen this happen in my life so many times where I'll be just going along doing my own thing, basically trying to take advantage of all these other laws and maximize those and take advantage of it, be a wise steward, learn, network, to maximize the opportunity that's right in front of me and try to do all those things. But and you can get so far doing that. But then there's a point when you connect what you're doing. We talk about this all the time on the podcast, but through business as mission, or you connect what you're doing to the kingdom of God, and you're incentivizing God to bless you. And God steps in and says, oh, you've been working with the system I've created. You've been faithful in a few things. I'm gonna make you ruler over much. Not that you built your own empire, but I'm going to make you. I'm going to set you over a bigger set of responsibilities, and there's going to be bigger benefits that come along with that. The blessing, the Proverbs 10 and 22 says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. That's awesome. That's abundance mindset right there. And he addeth no sorrow with it. Again, we know, and I don't necessarily have to qualify this, but we know that the wealth and the riches that God brings us through his blessing is to fulfill his purpose and mission. They come with a purpose. They're not just purely for our enjoyment, although there is an element of that, but it's to advance the kingdom of God and leverage what we have to bless the kingdom of God and bless others and be a wise steward of it, right? And so God is the creator of opportunity. And when you understand that, that is a law of opportunity, is that, and this law supersedes all the other laws, okay? And God can step in and orchestrate things in a way that gives you kind of this divine unfair advantage, right? In business, we talk about, you know, an unfair advantage or a competitive advantage, or you're at a disadvantage. This, for Christians, getting in alignment with the will of God and the purpose of God gives you an unfair advantage, because God steps in. And my pastor describes it this way. He says, Pastor Caleb Adams in Memphis, Tennessee, describes it as the God push, where you're doing what you know to do and you're taking one step at a time, but all of a sudden God comes in with his favor, his blessing, and he just pushes everything along faster. It just expedites everything, and he creates opportunity for you. Now, this is controversial. And I had someone one time, we were doing a real estate deal, and we went on the house we were buying. It was mislisted. The listing had been listed as, like, I don't know, like 35 or 3,600 square feet was the size of the house. But we walk into the house, and it was priced accordingly. And we walk in, or maybe it was a little high for that size of house, but this was back in COVID. You know, we were buying a house, me and my wife, and we were blessed to do it. And we were walking in, and we're like, okay, this house feels a lot bigger than the stated square footage. And come to find out, by the time we ended up closing and stuff like, and it ended up being almost 1,000 square feet bigger than what it was. It was actually an error. And it was confused with a similar floor plan house down the street. And like something had gotten confused and someone didn't, you know, match all that up. And so I told the realtor, I was like, man, it's like God prepared this for us, because this was back when people were overbidding for houses and you were getting in bidding wars and stuff. Not only did we get a good deal, it appraised for more than we paid for it. And we didn't have to pay over asking price. It was like in reverse. It was like in a time when people were paying $20,000 and $30,000 over asking price, it appraised for $20,000 or $30,000 more than we got it for. And there were several different situations that had happened there, not to go into all the details. And I told the realtor that, I was like, man, it's like God prepared an opportunity for us. He's like, well, I don't think God would, you know, present this in such a way. And he meant it well. And there is some merit to what he's saying, that I don't think God would make this happen, you know, this discrepancy or whatever, so that, you know, this person would take less for their house so that you could have a better deal. And I was like, well, no. I said, but the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. And I'm not saying that the person who was selling was wicked. It was a very nice lady. And I'm not saying that at all. I'm not trying to imply that. But the implication is that there, if for people that are not in alignment with the will of God and things in their life, sometimes he pulls away from them. He'll take from them and give to someone who is serving him. And there's biblical examples of that. So it is very real. I said, I'm not necessarily saying that that is what's happening here. I'm not saying that that's a wicked person that we bought it from, and that God basically made it happen such that they got disadvantaged, right? I'm not saying that. I said, that's how some people think when they say, well, God gave me a good deal on this or that. But that, and there is true, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. And there is a principle that God will take from those who are not wise stewards of what they have, or who are using it for bad purposes. And God absolutely can, in a form of judgment or punishment, take it away from them and hand it to us. You know, that does happen. We see that in the Bible all the time. And it's a form, and it is controversial to say that, but it does happen. But at the same time, God knew that square footage was going to get messed up. And the person actually ended up making quite a bit of money off the house. It's not like they were losing money or being taken advantage of. It's just that they maybe didn't optimize or take full advantage of it because of this little discrepancy. Now, that little discrepancy was going to happen, I believe, whether or not we bought the house. But The thing is, God knew that that was a house that would be a blessing to us, and we've since used it to bless the kingdom and others and different things. But that house, that opportunity was going to be presented through time, chance, the nature of things, whatever, right? But he orchestrated things where we were positioned to be the ones that took advantage of that. Not that we took advantage of the person, but we took advantage of the opportunity, and it ended up being a win-win all the way around. She got a buyer that was a good qualified. She had had an offer that fell through, and she needed out, and like we gave her we were a solid offer. We came in and we gave her everything she asked for. We gave her full price, right? So we didn't like beat her up or take advantage of that lady. Having said that, the additional square footage and by and large the additional appraisal value was an unexpected benefit that God knew was already baked into the deal that he allowed us to be able to take advantage of. So God created, he orchestrated that opportunity. So sometimes when I say God creates an opportunity, people think that, man, he's just like beating other people over the head to give it to his children. And while I'm not saying that that couldn't happen, more often than not, God knows what's happening because he knows the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. And he knows how to orchestrate it in such a way that we're able to take advantage of it as his children. And if you're a wise steward and you're living in the, for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, if you're a committed giver and you're responsible with what you're doing and you use your resources to help and facilitate the kingdom of God, God's going to make sure that things are orchestrated to maximize the benefit to you. God takes care of his regular customers, I heard someone say one time. And so on that note, get out there, be blessed, understand a little bit more, hopefully, about how opportunity works, and take advantage of it. Opportunity's out there for you. Go get it. Look for it. This concludes today's episode, and we trust you were able to walk away with something of value from the content that you heard. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. Be sure to share this episode with a friend. Sharing is caring, after all. And check out the resources available on our website at theblessedbusiness.com. We have a lot of goodies out there for you, like the Income Accelerator course that teaches you the 5 keys to unlocking your earning potential, or the Launch course, which is a step-by-step guide to help you launch your own business. Thank you for your time and attention today, and until next time, be blessed.